I do not plan to preach at length, but there are a few thoughts that I would like to share with you at this time. Jeremiah chapter 6, and I want to read the 29th and the 30th verses. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 29 and 30. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire, the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. May God's anointing rest upon the reading and the ministry of His word. You may be seated. Israel probably felt that she was gold ore only waiting to be separated so that it would become apparent how really wonderful and profitable she actually was. And so God put Israel to the test. And Jeremiah said that after the test had been conducted, that the bellows are burned. That is my subject tonight, the bellows are burned. By the bellows being burned, Jeremiah is referring to the fact that the bellows, which provides the wind that fans the flame, has already done its job. But in her hardness, Israel, the metal, still is not melted. Now, there is no way that the fire can be hot enough without the work of the bellows, because the fire has to be fanned. And it was the instrument of the bellows, as indeed is still much in case today, that provides that wind which blows upon the flame, and as the bellows fans a flame, then the heat arises in intensity. But Jeremiah says, the bellows are burned. And yet the silver and the gold are found to be reprobate, and gold, wonderful ore, is not there after all. Now, obviously, he's referring in the first place to himself. He's talking about himself as the prophet of God. He has done everything that he can to stem the wickedness of the nation. He has given forth the word of God. He has used his lungs. His lungs are exhausted. His voice is gone, as it were. He has stood in the way. He has tried to keep the nation from plunging down headlong into destruction, all to no avail. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet that had to have a lot of confidence in God, because in 40 years of ministry, he did not have one convert. There was not one converted person to show for 40 years of ministry. But this did not mean that he did not warn the people anyhow. So what God is saying to you and me tonight is this: whether the message is rejected or accepted, the message must go forward. And the minister cannot base whether or not he will preach the message as to whether or not people have accepted it or have rejected it. It is not his responsibility whether they accept it or reject it. It is his responsibility to preach it. And may I say, as your pastor, it is not my responsibility as to whether or not you will reject the message I bring or you will accept the message I bring. But it is my responsibility to bring that message. Now, this was not an uncommon thing with Jeremiah. There were other preachers that went through the same thing. Though they had expended their energy, though they had given their all, they had to say with Jeremiah to the people to whom they ministered, who had so insolently rejected the gospel of God, that the bellows are burned. Noah had that problem. He preaches for over 100 years and does not have one convert to show for it, with the exception of his own family. Not that that is to be minimized, but the bellows were burned. And not only did he preach, he illustrated. He built an ark. Not only by word, but by example, he preached the word of God, and it still was rejected. So Noah would identify with Jeremiah in saying, the bellows are burned. I have given my all, but my lungs are gone. My voice is gone. I've done everything that can be done. And rather than you prove to be wonderful, pure silver, you are reprobate silver, says God, because you have not melted under the fire of my word and under the fire of my judgment. I want to tell you, child of God, there is one way that men melt before God, and that is before the mighty word of the living God. I'm happy to tell you that this word can melt people. I'm happy to tell you that this is God's furnace. I'm happy to tell you that this book can melt down the hardest individual. But tragically, Israel had not submitted to the word of God, and as a result, in Jeremiah's case, the bellows were burned. I pray tonight that it will never be said of you that the bellows are burned. I pray tonight that you will not sit under the impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ and reject it over and over again until you have become so hardened that God has to conclude that you are reprobate silver. But rather, I trust as the mighty bellows of God's word begins to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God comes against that indifference in your soul, that rebellion in your soul, that denial of God in your soul, that sinful lifestyle in your soul, I trust that you will melt before God and let the word of the living God bring life and victory and glory and power and deliverance and Jesus Christ into the very depths of your soul. Because otherwise, it must be said, the bellows are burned. Jeremiah, Noah, Isaiah had to all say, the bellows are burned. Isaiah puts it a little differently, but he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He said, all the day long I've stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient people. The bellows had burned because of the rejection of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I believe that God, through his word, is blowing through his bellows throughout the world in our time. I believe that God is preparing the world for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think what the writer to the Hebrews says is very applicable here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Then in chapter 2 he adds, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest haply we drift. For if the word spoken was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both the signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I believe that that is happening today, ladies and gentlemen. I believe the bellows of the Word of God are blowing upon the fan of the Holy Spirit. It isn't enough to have the Holy Spirit by himself. It is not enough to have the Word of God by itself. But it's the mighty bellows of the Word of God fanning that work of the Holy Spirit upon the souls of men that are getting men and women ready for the kingdom of God. And so the bellows are blowing. I praise God that as far as revival is concerned, I do not believe it can yet be said the bellows are burned. I still believe that God has more. I believe that the Word of God has not been going forth in full fruition as yet. I believe that there are many who even yet are going to come into the ark of safety. I thank God the bellows are still blowing tonight. I praise God that here at First Assembly of God, the bellows of God are blowing. I want to tell you, God Almighty is fanning the flame. That flame is not made by man. That flame is by the Holy Spirit of God. But it takes the Word of God to fan that flame. It takes the mighty Word of God to bring forth that glory and that power as the Spirit of God breathes upon us and blows upon us that brings men to God. So the bellows are blowing, and I thank God for that. But tragically, in Jeremiah's case, it had to be said, the bellows are burned. Now, there's a second way whereby the bellows are burned in the lives of many people, and that is that energy which men have to do evil. It's amazing how energized men can become when they want to do that which is evil. It's amazing how little energy they can have when they need to do something for God. But there is an energy of hell. There is a course. There is a spirit of this world that works in the children of disobedience. One thing you must say, that the devil is not lazy. One thing you must say, that those that serve him usually are very diligent. And there is a driving force within them. And he works night and day, and he never relents, and he never gets discouraged, but he just keeps on. He keeps on coming against the child of God. And we have to understand that. We must recognize that our enemy does not sleep. But I want you to recognize something else. Neither he that keepeth Israel shall slumber nor sleep. I thank God that our Heavenly Father does not sleep. And if the devil keeps on coming, our God keeps on coming. I remember a few years ago in the Cotton Bowl game when the University of Houston was playing Notre Dame University. The University of Houston had racked up a score, and it looked as if the ball game was over. But Notre Dame would not take no for an answer, and they began to hang in there. And when the game was over, Notre Dame had won after all. And at the end of the game, their center, Chapman, made this statement. He said, while they were on the sideline celebrating, we kept on coming. I want to tell you, while the powers of hell are on the sideline celebrating, God's church is keeping on coming. Praise God. The devil has already celebrated the destruction of the kingdom of God. He's already trying to celebrate the destruction of the church. And he thinks that he has delivered a church a blow unto the kingdom of God. But while he's celebrating, our God is coming on. Hallelujah. And he's getting stronger all the time. And God cannot be stopped. And hell cannot slow him down. For our God is marching on. Praise God. Oh, God, help us to recognize if the bellows are burned, then it's hopeless. But I thank God in the case of the Church of Jesus Christ, the bellows are still blowing. But let me say something tonight to you that are very quickly energized to do the work of the enemy. the time is going to come that the bellows will be burned. The time is going to come when that which fans your ambition shall be there no longer. The time is going to come which motivates you now, that thing that energizes you to do the wrong is going to be removed, but you are going to be lost as a result. It may appear that the only thing in life now is to make money, gain a reputation, have fame and fortune, or whatever you do, not have time for God. But friend, that is going to come to an end. That will not last forever, and your end is going to be tragic if you continue to pursue that path. The reason is the bellows are going to be burned. Right now, young lady, young man, the bellows may be fanning that desire for dope, that desire for pleasure, that desire for easy living, that desire that says you only go around life once, so why not live it with gusto? That desire that says, I've got time for pleasure, I've got time for foolishness, but I don't have time to God. But I warn you, young people, the day is coming when the bellows are going to be burned. They are going to be burned out. They are not going to be able to melt that metal of opposition against God. And the time is going to come that that fire of hell in your soul is going to go out, and it's going to leave you a moral wreck. It's going to leave you damaged for time and eternity. I plead with you, before the bellows are burned, before there is in you a dying out of anything that smacks of good and righteousness and holiness, that you let the bellows of the Word of God blow on your soul tonight, and let God's Word fan that flame of the Holy Spirit which is trying to ignite in the very depths of your life. Obviously, the time will come otherwise when the bellows will be burned. Ambition goads men. Ambition drives men. Ambition causes men to do about anything. But listen to me, friend. God help us to realize that power and ambition will not last forever. Now, there are two classes of people. There are people who have the power to hurt others, but who don't have the motive to do so. There are others who have the motive to hurt others, but who don't have the power to do so. So that leadership comes when you have both the motive and the resource. It is not leadership if you want to do something but don't have the ability to do it. And it is not leadership if you have the ability to do it but don't have the drive to do it. But leadership comes when there is a balance of the two. And what happens is the enemy comes in and he gives you motives that ought not to be there. And then he gives you energy in order to carry out those motives. In other words, the bellows of hell begin to blow, and he fans that flame of ambition. He fans that flame of fame. He fans that flame of lust until, as the bellows of hell blow upon it, you find yourself ultimately rejected, because those bellows one day will all stop. They'll be burned. And when that happens, you will neither be satisfied nor will you possess your soul. God help you to not allow the time to come when in your soul the bellows will be burned. But there's another area whereby the bellows are burning tonight. But thank God, I don't believe they are completely burned yet. And that is in what God is doing in this last hour. I thank God, he said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And God's bellows are fanning the flame of revival this very hour. How we thank God for the flame of revival. You can't work it down. You can't talk it down. You can't force it down. You can't pull it down. About all you can do is pray it down. But even that is in the context of the sovereignty of God. But once in the sovereignty of God, God's bellows began to flame, to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. It ignites a fire that comes against that which is dross, that which is specious, that which is artificial, so that which is true might remain. And that's what happened as God sent this mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to purge away the dross so that which is not real might be vanished, as so that the real might appear. And I thank God as God's bellows began to blow, the fan of God caused the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit to become increasingly hotter, so that God's work was spread abroad, and like a prairie fire, it began to blow over the world. May God help us to so conduct ourselves that this mighty fire of God shall continue. In that sense, may the bellows never be burned. May they never reach a point whereby they're burned out and can no longer come against the dross and the metal, spiritually speaking, that are not real, counterfeit. But God grant that the bellows of the Holy Spirit increasingly come against the sin and the iniquity of our time. Now, what's this to do with you and me? First of all, it's to let us know that God in our individual lives has his bellows blowing tonight. And he is trying you and me, and he's testing us as to whether or not we are genuine metals or whether or not we are counterfeit. And I trust that in our case, the time will not come when God will say to us, as he said to Israel, the bellows are burned. I trust that we will yield to the divine process. I trust that we shall be willing to be put into God's furnace. For when we're tried, we shall come forth as gold. Are you willing to walk through God's furnace tonight? The Bible said, when thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee. He said that the fire is not going to burn us. The waters are not going to overwhelm us. I will be with thee. Yes, the old song justly says, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Child of God, let the bellows of God fan the flame of the Holy Spirit in your life. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, stir up the gift of God that is within thee. The Greek reads, kindle to the highest flame possible God's gift which resides in you. There's a flame in you and me tonight, but God says we are to kindle it. We cannot kindle it if we don't permit God's bellows to blow upon that flame, to fan it so that it reaches the apex of what God wants to do in our individual lives. And so bring it up to the highest flame possible, the gift of God which is in us. I like what Smith Wigglesworth used to say. He said, if the Spirit does not move me, I move the Spirit. And I believe that. That's what Paul is talking about. Kindle to the highest flame the gift of God which resides in you. There are so many of God's children that have God's gifts within that are just lying dormant. But God says, kindle that gift to the highest flame. That's what we want to do in Concept 70. We want to study how we can kindle that gift to the highest flame so that the bellows of God can fan that wonderful, blessed fire of the Holy Spirit of God. So submit yourself to the divine process. Go into God's furnace. Let God do in your life what He's trying to do. And as Job came out, so will you. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then finally, may I say that the bellows, one of these days, are going to be burned. In the case of you who over and over again have the Word of God flaming the Holy Spirit in order that you might be saved. That warning that comes from God, that voice of God within your heart, that's something that says, I need to turn to God. And that's why I'm trying to help you tonight, sinner friend, because you need a voice. You need somebody to warn you. You need somebody to help you. Actually, you may not recognize it, but you're sending out a spiritual SOS. As many of you know, the letters SOS is the international code, and it takes priority over any other signal transmission in navigational life. It means save our souls. You remember when the great Titanic went down in 1912 with a loss of 1,513 people? It was felt that man in his ingenuity had now perfected a product that would withstand all of the power of nature. It was felt that man had reached a new sphere of what he could do with his creativity. But on its maiden voyage, as it struck that iceberg off of Newfoundland, the Titanic sank. And here is the ironic thing. 10 miles from where that great ship went down, the SS California was plying the seas and could easily have rescued the people from off the Titanic. And the Titanic sent out the Save Our Souls. The SOS went out, but the SS California never came to the help of the Titanic. And you know why? It was later discovered that the wireless operator was off duty. Hear me tonight. God brought you here, and you're sending out an SOS, and you're saying, I need somebody to save my soul. You're saying, save my soul. And as God's spiritual wireless operator, I'm glad to tell you, I'm on duty tonight. I hear the cry of your soul. And I'm happy to tell you, friend, that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus will help you. I'm happy to tell you that you will not have to go under spiritually, that you won't have to sink. You remember Simon Peter beginning to sink, cried, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out, lifted him up, and they walked together back into the boat. And that same Jesus is here tonight. You shall not go under because the Son of God is coming to your rescue. I know that you feel there's a spiritual mayday in your life, and the SOS out of the depths of your soul is saying, somebody help me. I need God. You may not even recognize that. That's why pleasure has gripped you. That's why sin has seemed so enticing. But underneath it all, it's a spiritual SOS. You're saying, save our souls. I need help. I need God, and I need him now. But praise God, heaven is going to hear your message tonight, and you're going to get through. And there is a far superior spiritual wireless operator than this preacher to whom you're listening. Thank God, heaven itself, hallelujah, will get your message, and it'll go directly to the throne of God. And God himself, the master commander of the navigational spiritual system of this universe, will come in your life and change you and make you whole, and you won't sink, but you'll go on over to do the work of God and to fulfill what God has for your life. The bellows a burn, may it never be said of you. May the time never come when God will reject you and have to say, the bellows a burn. I've done all I can do. I have tried to blow on the fire that would ignite his or her soul. But he's resisted. He's too hard spiritually. And now I am exhausted in the efforts I've put forth to bring this man, this woman, this boy. SOS, deliver me, I pray. Come into my life and change me gloriously by thy grace. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.